Hey there, everybody out there in Radio Land. We are excited to be with you today for this live show, Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater, Tampa Bay, I guess, Florida. That's where we're from. And we welcome every single one of you. Brother Chip just had a great show as always, and it's fun to come and boot him out of this chair and sit in it, and here we go. And he's a great guy, and we just speak blessing to him and his ministry. And Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. With me is my associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, the one and only and famous Pastor Jim.
Yeah, okay. Not sure how famous I am.
Well, you're famous to us. So.
Oh, okay. I can live with that.
You can, yes. And what a beautiful day it is here. It's not raining for amazingly. It's not raining.
Praise God. Praise God.
That doesn't mean it won't be by the time we're done with this show, however. So we're in Florida in the summer, and so we do have those rain times. But, you know, the rain of his spirit, Pastor Jim, is pouring down, and God is doing a new thing in the land. And I believe that we are going to see many, many lives turned around in the weeks and months and years ahead if Jesus does not come back before that.
Right.
Because there is a rumble in the spirit world. And it's because people are realizing that there's more to life than their possessions, than their job. There's more to life than all of that, and they need to start really taking time in with their spiritual lives, don't you think?
Oh, I agree. It's we're fast approaching the end of the day, the end
right.
of days. And God prophesied through Isaiah there would be that separation, and people are hungry.
Yeah, they are.
People are so hungry for anything spiritual. I have a friend that I used to work with, former coworker, on, and you know, still we're friends on Facebook and that sort of thing. And he's like, you know, Mr. Scientific Atheist, and yet he's always posting these like pagan things.
Wow.
You know, so there's a hunger.
Yeah.
For something spiritual.
Yes, there
you know,
is.
That's why. That's one of the reasons I'm very thankful for the radio show.
Amen.
For the fellowship that we have.
Yes.
For all the other, you know, Christian ministries.
Right.
Because we've got to be there and allow God to use us to meet people's spiritual needs.
Absolutely.
Because you know who's going to step in if we don't.
The devil
exactly.
always does have his little tricks and schemes and tries to lead people into that new agey thing of it's all about you. But dear one, it's not all about us. It's about God and what he wants to do in us and through us. And this new series we're starting today, Pastor Jim, I am fired up about it. But then again, when am I not fired up about
exactly.
these series, right?
Exactly. I don't think in all my time being at Beacon that I can ever remember a time when you weren't fired up about
it's because it's the word of God and it's fresh right off of the burner, you know, so to speak. It's just God waiting on God. God, what do you want done here? And we are going to do a series here in the book of Ruth, which we are beginning today. If you have access to your Bible, find that book. It's in the Old Testament. It's like the seventh book of the Bible. Ruth, it's only four chapters. And the title of this series is Finding Favor Forever. Pastor Jim, how does this impact our lives, having favor? Why should this be an important topic? And I'm going to let you tell them that while I get my fan on in here.
Okay. It's important for us to know that we have that favor, that we find that favor with God, that we know we have it, because that is the perfect antidote to like the shame that we might be feeling, the less than-ness that we might be feeling. You can't really have a relationship with God unless you know that you're in his favor, because otherwise you're going to be hiding from him like Adam and
exactly.
Eve tried to do in the garden.
Always walking around wondering when the next shoe's going to fall or
right.
what God's going to do to punish you or
right.
whatever.
Yeah. when he calls your name, you're going to hide, try and hide in, you know, among the trees or something.
Exactly.
Instead of just, you know, meeting with him. That's what God wants.
Yes.
He wants to meet with us. We'll find out that he has provided the perfect way to bring us and keep us in that favor.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's just so important because that way, you know, we can, to quote in the New Testament, we can then come boldly before the throne of grace.
Absolutely.
We don't have to crawl and cringe.
That's right.
We can come boldly because we're part of that family. We have favor with the King of Kings.
Amen. Oh, and that's why this series is so important, because Pastor Jim, I agree with you. I think there's an awful lot of people out there in Radio Land, and now that we're syndicated with Starcom Media around the globe, they're going to hear this series and need to know that God is for you, dear one. He's not against you in any way. In fact, Paul says, if God be for us, who can be against us, right? And that's in Romans 8 at the end, you know, who can be? And then Paul says, nothing can separate us from God's love. But I think a lot of times our traditions, our religiosity, our old habit patterns cause us to think that God is mad at us all the time, that he's waiting just to chop us down, throw some awful disease on us. All of that is a lie. All of that is. God doesn't have disease in heaven. The disease comes from the devil and comes from our earthly world we live in, and our health issues and stuff like that. But God does not punish us with cancer or anything else. That is a lie of the devil, and it needs to be debunked, if you, so to speak, you know? And so as we find favor, the title of this series says Finding Favor Forever. You want to amplify on that before we go to this first song?
Well, it's important. I mean, it's one thing to find it. It's
right.
Another to keep it.
To keep it. That's it right there.
We have to keep realizing our standing with God.
Yes.
Because of becoming, you know, because of the blood of Jesus and having our sins washed away, becoming the righteousness of God.
Right.
We have that standing. And yet, sometimes I think we forget that, like you mentioned earlier.
Right.
And it's, we have to keep reminding ourselves of that. We have to keep ourselves. It's not that we lose God's favor. We forget that we're in God's favor.
There you go. That's it right there.
We have to keep reminding ourselves of that.
That's a bell ringer. It really is. There you go. We got to remind ourselves that we are in his favor. And this series is really going to bring that concept home. Introduce this first song, if you will, Pastor Jim. It's all about, it's from Hillsong,
it's from,
right?
It's from Hillsong. It's For Who You Are by Hillsong. It's the live version. It's great.
Whoa, here you are. For Who You Are.
Still small voice again.
Praise God. Love that song by Hillsong. Woo, my soul's secure, your promise sure, your love endures always. Oh, that is a good song as an intro to this series, Pastor Jim. Nan is in the station with us, and I believe you have a poem that God just gave you, correct?
I do.
All right.
It's entitled, My Forever Favor is For You.
Okay.
I have so many good things for you, just for you. Will you accept them? You just need to worship and praise my name, and upon me always depend. You will have the blessedness of my forever favor in your life. You may have difficulties occur, but you'll make it through your strife. Go ahead, worship me with all of your heart. I inhabit the praises offered unto me. You will learn so much from my word, and of chains you will be set free.
Praise God.
Worship, worship, worship me now. My favor is here, you will receive. Of this promise you can have. Worship unto me and believe.
Oh, that's powerful as always. And when God gives Nan these poems, they're really like prophetic words. They are prophetic words coming from God, just in the form of a poem. And these happen spontaneously during these shows. This is not anything planned, nothing she got out of a book. This is something that she's just in there typing away on her little laptop when a lot of things happen here on the show. So God is reminding us of his favor, and we can have it and walk in it forever. Let's go to the book of Ruth, chapter 1, and this is a very interesting story, and this occurred about 1,300 years B.C., before Jesus came to this earth. So about 1,300 years B.C., there was a man living in Israel, and his name was Elimelech. And Elimelech had a wife, and her name was Naomi. And as the Hebrews did and still do, their names mean something specifically. And his name meant God is King. Her name meant pleasant and agreeable. Kind of cool. So he's saying God is King, and she is, her life is speaking of pleasantness and being agreeable. Very nice, very good. As it starts, the book of Ruth. That's the beginning, okay? Pastor Jim knows what's coming. So it all changes here quite quickly because there's a famine in the land. And some of you out there can, kind of relate to that. Maybe you've been going through a famine of one sort or another, financially or emotionally or spiritually. And a famine just means there's a lack. You know, there's a lack of food or there's a lack of stability or whatever it might be. And so this man was from the town of Bethlehem, which I find fascinating, Pastor Jim. And that means house of bread.
House of bread.
So he came from what would be, let's say, a religious background. Okay. And it was in Judah, which means praise. He left there to go. He went looking for food for his family. Mm-hmm. And a noble thing.
Yeah.
However.
However. He went in the wrong direction.
He went in the wrong direction.
The only place that it's recorded where God actually sent somebody somewhere because of a famine was Jacob and sons when they mm-hmm. went to Egypt.
That's right.
You know,
and that was for a purpose.
That was for a purpose. When there was a famine in the land, when Isaac lived in Canaan, God said, stay here, and Isaac was blessed.
Right.
Elimelech.
It appears this is his own decision.
Right. It doesn't say anything that he prayed about it.
Right.
An angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, go to Moab. But he did. I just want to back up for just a second.
Go ahead.
Read some scripture from Amos.
Yes.
The prophet Amos.
Please do.
Because it talks about famine and famine for, you know, you mentioned Bethlehem, house of bread. Well, the bread being the word of God. And in Amos chapter 8. Verse 11, he says, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord.
Oh, wow.
And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east, and shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord.
Whoa.
But they shall not find it. And I think that really speaks to Elimelech.
Yes.
And what he was doing, there was a famine. And he headed to Moab and
to the actually to the unbelievers.
Right, exactly, because Moab was basically under a curse. Right. I mean, Israel was not supposed to attack it, although eventually under David they did. They were provoked. But during the Exodus, God told Moses, don't attack them. They're like your cousins, basically. Right. So you can't attack them. But Moab would not let Israel pass through. And even though, you know, Moses offered to pay them money, they still wouldn't do that. And then later on in Israel's history, there's a lot of prophecies in Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, where God curses Moab because Moab was just overjoyed to see Judah overthrown by the Babylonians.
Right.
And
bad attitudes.
Yeah. Well, and I brought this up on Friday night. Remember, Moab was a child of incest.
Right.
The one this country's named after was a child of Lot by the eldest daughter of Lot.
Right.
So, you know, that's a bad beginning.
Says a lot. Bad beginning. That's bad heritage.
Yeah, that was a bad beginning to start with. But yes, he was going from Israel, from the believers,
right,
to the unbelievers, to the pagans.
But, you know, that speaks of our world in this generation. So many people are going from truth to satisfying themselves with all kinds of New Age theories, all kinds of different kinds of messages out there. And instead of staying true to the word and true to what God wants to do in our lives, a lot of people are out there running around trying to find the latest fad or the latest new thing to get involved in, you know?
Well, I had to head over to 2 Timothy.
Yes.
Chapter 3.
Yes.
Having an appearance of godliness but denying the power thereof.
That's it.
You know, I mentioned it before, people are looking for something.
Right.
You know, something of spiritual substance. Even people who say they don't believe in God, there's still that urge.
There is.
It's built into us. Ecclesiastes said, you've put eternity in our hearts.
Right.
You know, Solomon wrote that in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You've put eternity in our hearts. We can't help but worship something.
Right. Well,
it's built into us.
Connie always used to call it the God-shaped hole in our hearts, which we all have a place where God needs to fill that. And instead, here you see Elimelech and his wife Naomi taking their sons and going to this foreign land, which was not a godly place to go.
Right.
Okay. And the man's name was Elimelech, and then Naomi. Their sons are interesting names, Pastor Jim. Mahlon, well, I don't pronounce that right. You pronounce it.
Mahlon.
Okay, that's, Pastor Jim is a scholar of Hebrew. And then we've got Chilion. And the first one, the oldest boy's name meant sick, worn, weak, and afflicted, according to the Hebrew. And the second boy's name is just about as bad, pining, destruction, failing, perishing. That's the names of these children.
Think about it, though. You've got sickness and pining.
Right.
And
exactly.
You know, the sickness is symbolic of what happened because they walked away.
Yes.
Symbolically, they walked away from God.
Right. And the house of bread, Bethlehem. Right. And yes.
And pining is just that wanting, really, that pining to go back.
Yes.
And
yes.
You know, so, yeah, those are weird names for kids, though.
But, you know, this was the tradition to name them. The names were significant.
Right.
Okay.
Well, like Jacob.
That wasn't just haphazard.
Right. Well, like Jacob.
Yes.
They named him Jacob, which means heel grabber, because when Esau was born first, Jacob was grabbing on to Esau's heel.
Right.
So they named him Jacob, which means heel grabber.
Right. So, I mean, it's all very significant. It's not something we're making up here, audience. This is very important. So we go along, and Elimelech dies, and Naomi's left with her two sons. Her two sons take Moabite wives now. They have not gone back to Israel to find Israeli wives. Instead, they took these wives from a foreign country. The first one was named Orpah, not Oprah, Orpah. And Orpah meant stiff-necked and to destroy, which is quite interesting. And the second son married a woman named Ruth, who this book is written about. And Ruth means, this is so cool, appearance, beauty, delightful, friendship, desirable, all of those things is what her name meant. Now, all this happens, and the sons get married. They marry these Moabite wives, but sometime along the way, and not too far into this, it appears, because these women had not had children yet. So I would say it probably didn't happen very long after they got married.
It says about 10 years.
Okay. All right. They have the sons die and the father dies. And so now we have Naomi in a foreign land with her two daughters-in-law. And what is she going to do? So we're in Ruth chapter 1, verse 6. One day, so at some point she got it together and she goes, I'm going back to my people. We don't know if that's a spiritual revelation that happened, or we don't know if she just realized she could not support herself and her daughters-in-law and it was time to take action. We don't really know what motivated her, but she and her daughters-in-law left the country of Moab and they set out for her home, which was Israel. She had heard that God had been pleased to visit his people and give them food. And maybe that was her entire motivation, Pastor Jim. She realized that, hey, there's food now. The famine's over back in Israel. I can go home. You know, maybe that was it. And so she started out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, on the road back to the land of Judah. And I think, Pastor Jim, a lot of times people get to a point maybe where their back is up against a wall, for whatever reason, and they make a change. Here, Naomi hears, oh, wait a minute, there's food there. Maybe life won't be so hard for me if I go back there. I think a lot of times people wander away from God. They get off doing their own thing, and suddenly they hear, wait, God is healing people. God is moving in people's lives. God has provided for this person or that person. And there's an impetus to get back to where they need to be. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and maybe that's what she was feeling is, you know, at least she understood that God had visited Israel.
Yes.
Now, remember, this was during the time of the judges, somewhere between 1400 and 1000 B.C. So, you know, we know the story of all the judges that we talked about it a lot when we were talking about Gideon. The pattern was apostasy, desperation, repentance, peace. Apostasy, you know, desperate.
Can you define apostasy for some of our audience, please?
It's the falling away, turning away from God.
Turning away from God.
The Israelites, it said, did evil in the sight of the Lord and turned to the local gods and goddesses.
Right.
So they fell away from God, and then, you know, things would always get bad. They'd always be oppressed when that happened. They'd get fed up. They'd cry out to God. He would deliver them, and there'd be peace in the land for so many years. So somewhere in one of these, what I would say, one of the peaceful periods,
right,
is probably when this happened, when she returned and heard, wait a minute, the famine's over. And it could very well have been after Gideon delivered Israel.
Right.
Because we know it was pretty harsh,
right,
you know, then. So it very well could have been when Gideon.
About that same period of time. And so here she is, Naomi, with her two daughters-in-law, and she starts on the road towards Israel. And for some reason, she decides to say to both of these girls, I think maybe you better turn around and go back home. Don't know maybe if they weren't getting along. Who knows what was going on? Or if Naomi just realized, wait a minute, they're going to be foreigners going into my home area like I was a foreigner coming into theirs. Maybe it's not best for them to go with me. We don't really know why she was motivated to try to send them home, do we?
Well, no. I mean, we know later on she says, I can't give you any sons.
Right.
I can't. I'm too old to raise up sons, because that was the custom.
Right.
If your husband died, you would wait until the next son got old enough, you'd marry him. Well, Naomi eventually says, I'm not going to be able to have any more sons.
Right.
So that's out. So you might as well go back to your families and find yourself another husband.
Exactly. So they have this important conversation on the road, And we're in about verse 8 of Ruth chapter 1. And after a short while on the road, so I don't think it had been days or weeks or months at all, Naomi tells her daughters-in-law, go back, go home, and live with your mothers. And may God treat you as graciously as you treated your deceased husbands and me. So they must have been good wives to their to her sons. They must have treated Naomi with respect. They must have been good daughters-in-law. All of that must have been true. And then Naomi says, may God give each of you a new home and a new husband. She kissed them, and they cried. And they both, at this point, in Ruth chapter 1, about verse 10, both of them say, no, we want to go with you.
Right.
Okay, there must have been a real bond there with this mother-in-law, with Naomi. And but Naomi's firm, and she goes, go back, my dear daughters, go back. Yeah. Okay.
And this is where she says, I can't raise up any more sons for
right,
you to marry.
Right here. Yeah, why would you even come with me, she says. You know, what is that about? Why are you going to do that? I'm old. I'm not going to be able to get another husband and start having a family again and all of that. But it's at the end of, what verse is that? About 11, is it? Where she says to them, no, dear daughters, this is a bitter pill. Bitter is the operative word right here. Bitter pill for me to swallow, more bitter for me than for you. God has dealt me a hard blow.
Yeah, verse 13.
So here we see, as they are saying, no, we want to go with you, she's saying, wait a minute, you don't understand how bad all this has been. So now, what do we see here? We're starting this series on finding favor forever. Naomi, at this point, does not feel that she has found favor with God.
No, she thinks she lost her favor.
She thinks she lost it somewhere. And Pastor Jim, I think the world is full of people like that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people who, for whatever reason, and I think there's a lot of professed Christians that also feel that
way. Oh,
I agree. For whatever reason,
yes,
I've lost favor with God.
Yes.
I've messed up one too many times.
Right.
Or I've committed the unpardonable sin, which is doubtful, because if you think you did it, you probably didn't do it.
Right.
You know.
All that.
Because if you really had, you wouldn't care. But yeah, I think a lot of people feel this way, that they just are out of favor, and like Naomi, they're bitter. Something happened.
Yes, right.
And it's, you mentioned it earlier, sometimes it's easier to blame it on God than it is to look at our own, if we maybe had a part of it.
Right, sure.
You know, why did I have this heart attack? Well, it's because you consumed 3,000 calories a day, most of it fat.
Right.
You know, but you don't, you know, God.
Personal responsibility.
Right.
People don't want to take that. And Megan is on with us today from up in Indiana. And Megan has just got on the line. Are you there, girl?
I'm on. Hi, Pastor Marcia. Hi, Pastor Jim. Hi, Nan.
Hey, Megan.
And Megan, how is Andrew and little baby miracle baby Zoe Grace?
Oh, Andrew's great. He's growing like a weed.
Yeah.
And Zoe Grace is wonderful. She's laying here in my arm, and she's cutting teeth, so she's kind of clingy on Mama, but she's doing great.
Oh, wow. Well, you and Ben are blessed with your two children, and of course you were blessed to have Grayson last year, who is now in the arms of Jesus. So, you know, Megan, we're talking here, and maybe you've heard the first part of the show.
I did. Okay, good.
About the fact that so many people do feel that they don't have favor with God, that they are like Naomi, bitter over life, bitter over what has happened. Don't you think there's a lot of that that's going on in churches and out of churches?
Well, absolutely. And it's like Pastor Jim said, it's easier to blame God than it is to just take to heart. Don't take to heart what's happened to you.
Right.
Like Naomi did, because, you know, it's too often that's when we get down in those ruts, is when something doesn't go our way, we blame God.
Absolutely. And it's common, and it does us a lot of damage. PJ, go ahead.
I was going to say, I blame the insurance companies for that.
You want to amplify on that, PJ?
I think Megan may know what I'm talking about. What do you call, in an insurance policy, things like hurricanes,
oh,
tornadoes,
act of God. Yeah, that's
God.
Right. You do. You're right.
It's like,
Yeah.
No, you know, we live, I mean, when bad things happen, it's usually due to something we've done, a consequence of our behavior, that reaping what you sow thing.
Right.
But also it's a it could be a direct attack of the devil, like in Job's case.
Sure.
And it could just be because we live in a fallen world.
Right.
We live in a world that's marred by sin. And we know, praise God, eventually all three of those can be taken care of.
Right.
But right now,
a lot of us feel like we got a target on ourselves, you know? And I know this is may sound comical to some of you, but I do have a target on me when it comes to seagulls. Right, Megan?
You do. It's dangerous to be in your area at the beach.
It is very dangerous. You've experienced it yourself. And all of my kids and grandkids have experienced it to the point that no one does sit beside me at the beach. I am kind of in my own little area. And I just recently got another hit. So, you know, I do feel that seagulls, for some reason, just tend to find me. But even though that's funny and bizarre, the way that a lot of people operate in this world is much the same as that. They feel like no matter what they do, they got a target on their head or on their back. You know, they feel like God is out to get them, and they blame God for these things, Pastor Jim.
Well, and I was thinking of that friend, my former coworker that we talked about before. And I think some people use the enormity of the evil in the world to deny the existence of God or to blame God. You know, we see so much evil.
Right.
And, you know, Jesus said, increase of lawlessness toward the end
right.
of days. We're going to see that evil.
We are.
And it's up to us. It's up to our attitude. He said, those who endure till the end will be saved. That's where we need to know we're walking in favor, because that's the only way we can keep a clear outlook and an unmuddied mind, a clear mind about what's going on.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, because it's easy to blame God for the death of a loved one or things that are out of our control.
Somebody told me today that one of the people close in their life continually says, there is a black cloud over my head all the time, which kind of reminds me of Peanuts. And was it Linus? Who has the black cloud over his head?
I think it's Linus.
Is it Linus?
Blanket,
I think it is.
Isn't it?
With a blanket? Yeah. It's got that black cloud over his head. But Megan, you know people like that. You're a lot younger than PJ and I, but still, and I speak for myself there too, not just PJ, as who is as old as he is. But Megan, you know people like this too, don't you? That are
absolutely,
you know,
those people that carry those black clouds over their head. Yes,
yeah.
And it's, you know, it's your fault that black cloud's here because you caused this to happen.
Right.
No, we didn't. It's called get rid of the black cloud and stop being so, I want to say just negative. Stop being so negative.
Yes.
Stop being so quick to blame others for your problems. Take them to God.
Amen.
Find favor with God instead of trying to find favor and find guilt and problems with other people, because you're not going to find it.
Well, and that's, here's Naomi and what she's saying to her daughters-in-law basically is, God has really been mean to me, you know? And she says, she uses the word bitter. She says, this has been a bitter pill for me to swallow, more bitter for me than for you. God has dealt me a hard blow. She puts the blame right squarely here, Megan, on God, and says, this has been a bitter, bitter experience I've gone through. Bitter or better? I've read this for years. Bitter or better, the difference is the letter I.
You know? That's probably going to be a series here, you know.
You think? You never know. But, you know, bitterness is it's a disease like cancer. Talk to us about that, Megan, and then we'll go to PJ for that.
Oh, it is. It'll eat you alive.
It will.
It's like cancer. It'll eat you alive because bitterness is from the devil.
It is. It is.
It'll consume you. It'll consume everything you do because you won't be able to find any joy in anything in your life.
Absolutely.
So everything's going to be a black cloud. Everything's going to pour down rain on you. Nothing is going to give you a ray of sunshine.
Yes.
The only person that can do that is to get the Lord into your life and turn it around for the better and get rid of the bitter.
Oh, absolutely. Woo! Good stuff. Go ahead, PJ.
Well, Pastor, you were a chemistry teacher, correct?
I was, yes.
Okay, so I know, and there is a point to this.
Okay.
Acid is on one end of the pH
That's
scale.
Right.
And
alkaline,
which is bitter, yeah. is on the other mm-hmm. end. And Megan, you said it's like it eats you up. Mm-hmm. About the most bitter thing I can think of is lye.
Yes.
Sodium hydroxide, which is way on that end of the
right.
scale.
Chemical scale.
It's very, very bitter. It's very, very alkaline, very, very caustic. And it's like that bitterness. I mean, it's like, it quite honestly, it would be like taking sips of Drano because that's
right.
what's in Drano is sodium hydroxide or
Good
lye.
Good point.
And, you know, so it does. It just eats you up on the inside. Destroys you.
And no pun intended, but of course intended, the lies of the devil are what constantly cause us to stay back in our areas of bitterness and anger towards God instead of realizing the favor of God that is upon us. We have another radio show we do every week, and it's called Go Yard with Mama Mac, and that's my other name. And it's with one of our people in our ministry, Dr. Angel, who's a PhD and licensed mental health counselor. And Megan, I don't know if you or Pastor Jim had a chance yet to listen to this last Thursday, two nights ago, on joy and things that you can do to have real joy in your life. But I will tell you that doing that show was a real good lesson for me one more time, that we can fall into agreement and live in joy, or we can live in this stuff, this bitterness, this anger, this depression, the black cloud. Talk to me about that, Megan, before we get to this song.
Well, isn't it easier that once you lie to just keep covering up other lies with more lies so that you don't have to deal with the original?
There you right? go.
So
yeah.
That's what typically what happens is it's like, well, you know, I've just covered this up with more of this and more of this and keep throwing sand on it instead of dealing with it.
Right.
And stop being bitter about the situation and learn to find forgiveness and learn to find joy in that situation.
Amen.
Because, you know, that's where we get stuck. We get stuck in a sand trap.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could have been there myself last year. But because the devil wanted me there. And
right.
there was a day he tried.
Yeah.
By golly, you know, I knew that people in my life needed me here, and I needed to get up out of that bed.
Right.
Because there was a reason for me to live. There was a reason for me to love.
Yes.
And that's the Lord. The Lord gives me that power.
Amen. Woo! 10,000 Reasons. Couldn't be a better segue to this song by Matt Redman, which, by the way, is one of my new favorite songs. 10,000 Reasons. Listen to this. Let it be encouragement to you.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh.
Worship your holy name. Yes, I will worship. Praise God.
Lord, I worship your holy name.
Oh, hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Let's pray together right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we just bless your name. We praise you, mighty God. You are so wonderful. You are so mighty and true. Lord, we love to hear music like this that propels us into your presence and causes us to realize that a moment in your presence is more important than all the griping and complaining that we do as humans. Lord, that we just need, there are reasons, so many reasons to take time to praise you and bless you. And Lord, let this show today cause our listeners to really desire to walk in your presence, desire to praise you, desire to bless you, and desire to get closer to you. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for this wonderful music and the ability to be on the air today and talk about your amazing greatness and your favor and your love for each of us. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. I just wanted to pray right then, Pastor Jim, because there's so much to be blessing God about.
Well, and that goes back to what we were talking about before. You know, Naomi could have said, praise God, there's food in Judah. I'm going back. But instead, she looked at, my two sons have died. My husband died.
Right.
But you know what? You're still, A, you're still alive. B, there's food in Judah.
Right. And you've got two wonderful daughters-in-law who are right beside you.
Exactly. I mean, that's a...
Count our blessings.
Right. That's a lot right there to be thankful for, to be grateful for. And yet, nope. You know, first of all, I can't give you any more husbands. Go away.
Yeah.
You know,
feeling sorry for herself, bitter old bag right here.
Well, she just kind of bitter old Yiddish mama.
Don't you think, Megan? Naomi's a bitter old bag right here.
I agree. She's right, carrying a lot of bags.
You know what? It's not fun to be a bitter old bag. It's so much better to be looking at the positive side. Nan's got a poem here. Did you reference the bitter old bag in there, Nan? Oh, wait a minute. Hang on, Nan. I got to get you back on. Go ahead. Go ahead.
That'll come next time.
Oh, it will. Pastor. Okay. All right, Nan. What's God saying?
This time he says, worship me.
Yeah, yes.
Bless my name with all that is within you.
Yes.
Look to me now, knowing that I see all. Things will be okay for you, precious one. For now, upon me, you need to simply call. You will find forever favor with me. It is available to you. It's one of my gifts. You will be able to see things differently, and from your current situations, you I will lift. Things will work together for your good. Sing unto me in a heartfelt way.
Wow.
Worship me even now as you hear this. Call upon me, praise me, and to me pray.
Woo! Right on, isn't it, Megan? Wow. While Megan prepares to comment.
Yes, that is right on. I'm glad she didn't mention the little old bag lady.
The bag lady. You know, while you prepare to comment, I wanted to remind people that we now have a Google text number for this show and also for our Go Yard show that you can use anytime during the show. Come straight to my phone right here on the in the control room. That number is 727-888-4171. I'm going to give it to you again. You can text your questions or your comments. We used to use email, but this is the easiest way now. 727-888-4171. If you want to comment, you want to ask a question during the show, then we'd love to hear from you. Megan, talk to us about this, the importance of praise, the importance of counting our blessings, you know?
Well, I agree. But, you know, I think once you're down in a rut, like she was, the little lady carrying the bags, Naomi, is that it's easier to carry the baggage than it is to let it go, because sometimes you may not, you've got yourself down so far that it's so hard to praise. It's so hard to see the joy in a situation. It's so hard to call out the good things, the things that have blessed you. But that's because the devil's got his hand on you.
That's right.
Because that's
there
where the
negativity
is coming from. That's where the bags are coming from.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, if you can get rid of the bags, rebuke them, pop them, call them out, throw them back and curse them back into hell where they're supposed to belong, where they belong, down in the depths of hell, that's when you can start praising.
Woo.
You can start seeing the positive in your situation. Just like with me. I've had a lot of negativity in my life. I'm still surrounded by it on a daily basis. But I know that I don't have to pick those bags up and carry them with me.
There you go, girl.
I'm blessed. I can love through anything, no matter what's thrown at me.
Amen.
Because I'm a child of the King.
Woo! I'm a child of the King. Remember that
Amen.
Old song?
Yes,
Woo!
Ma'am.
Praise God. Pastor Jim, comment on that. That just fires me up, everything Megan's saying.
Yeah, and all this talk about bags of bitterness.
Okay, you go right ahead.
Well, you know, I was thinking...
Bags of bitterness.
Well, maybe the three of us here in the studio, and perhaps Megan, remembers when the only type of bag you could get at the grocery store was paper.
That's right.
And, you know, I was thinking, well, the showers of blessing destroy mm-hmm. those bags of bitterness.
Woo.
You know, because the water, of course, will make the bag just eventually go away.
Right.
And that's so true. She was not looking at her blessings.
Right.
And you know, I'm not, you know. I've done the same thing. It's like it's easy.
We all
it's,
have.
And maybe it's part of just our fallen nature. But
yeah, I think it is.
Sometimes it's easier just to dwell on the negative and to kind of get stuck on that and live there, which is what she was doing. And, you know, she did have blessings. And
right.
she's about to find out who the biggest blessing is going to be for her.
Right.
Is that one, you know, daughter-in-law of hers.
Yes.
You know, who just wouldn't give up.
Well, and that's so interesting. And this whole book is titled her name, Ruth. And again, Ruth's name means appearance and beauty and delightful and desirable and friendship. And, you know, I think you mentioned last week or a week before, PJ, about the friendship of God in our lives and how important that is. Didn't you teach on that recently?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah. Well, actually, last Sunday.
Last
at the nursing
Sunday.
Home.
Yeah, that's it. That's where I knew you had taught about it recently.
At the nursing home. We need to see God as you know, I mean, he's our Father.
Yes.
He's God. But Jesus said, I call you my friends.
Right.
You're not my, you know, you're not like slaves, even though in one sense, of course, we are. But he says, he wants more than that. I mean, he says, because a slave doesn't know what the master's doing.
Right.
But I call you my friend. So we know,
yes,
we know what Jesus is doing. We have that friendship relationship with him. We have that favor,
right,
with him. We can be friends with Jesus. We can be friends with God. And that's not, you know, that's, that runs counter to a lot of religious talk,
right,
you know, where, yeah, I mean, yes, God is supreme. God is high and holy and righteous and separated from us. And yet he lives inside of,
amen,
us and wants to be our friend. He wants to have that kind of relationship with us.
Yes, he does.
And that just freaks a lot. I mean, freaks a lot of people out.
It does.
Because
it does.
God wants to be my friend. Yeah, he wants to walk with you.
Right.
Through the, you know, through the mountains and the valleys and wherever you, wherever your path leads, he's going to be right there walking with you, closer,
right,
than a brother, the Bible says.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, which is great. And in fact, last week in the nursing home, it was National Friendship Day, which I thought was so cool.
And that wasn't planned. That's, you know, how God does things.
And God had shown me those scriptures as I was driving up there. I had no idea. And then
there
one of the other people mentioned it. And it was on my heart to have us all sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And that's true. I mean,
yes, yes.
You know, we need to get into that mindset. Not that we get like familiarity breeds contempt, you know, that old saying. But this is different. This is friendship. This,
yes,
is a living relationship that Jesus wants to have with us.
Amen. Amen. And that obviously Ruth develops, and Naomi at this point doesn't have it, but we're going to see more about her. Megan, you want to comment on that before we do a couple things here different right at the
hour? Absolutely. Sure. You know, I think, like Pastor Jim was talking, those people that it really freaks them out might be those people that have really never experienced a true friendship.
A good
friendship
point.
Free, you know, a friendship,
yes,
free of lies, a friendship free of being used, of being hurt.
Ooh, that's
but
a major point, Megan.
The Lord is the opposite.
Yeah, there goes the bell ringing right there for you.
You know, he is the ultimate
right.
BFF.
Yes, he is.
He's never going to turn his back on you. He's never going to let you go. It's us that turns and strays away from him. He's always there.
Megan, that is such a valid point that I think a lot of times we have not really made Jesus our friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. A lot of times, a lot of Christians don't. They are still under that black cloud. They're still under that pessimism or that thing that God's so mad at me now, that's why I had a bad test at the doctor's, or, you know, I'm going to pay for this, you know, and all of that. And I remind every one of you today from Psalm 103 in the very words of David, he said this in about verse 10, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for us, you know. And when God loves us that much, he's not dealt with us according to our sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. And we're going to talk about that word in the second hour here. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's not even one word in 1 John 1:9, which we lovingly refer to as the Christian's bar of soap. There's not one word in there about, but then you're going to get yours, you know. It's if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that is a good segue into our second hour. And we will be talking more about this in a couple minutes. So stay with us. Megan, I mentioned Go Yard, our Thursday night show. Do you want to give a little, you listened to almost all of them. And I think you have listened to all of them. And we just started last September with Go Yard. Do you want to comment on that? Thursday nights at 6:06 p.m. Eastern.
Absolutely. It's you and Dr. Angel Falzoni. You guys are, it's a life coaching show.
Yeah.
And you guys really touch base on some in-depth issues. And, you know, I'm learning things just through listening to the shows about how to handle situations in life differently than I have before. It's a mentoring show, too, and you should check
cool.
it out.
Cool. 6:06 p.m. Eastern for the Starcom Media Network. Check your local listings because it's on at a lot of different times. It's live here at Thursday nights at 6:06 Eastern, and we go till 7 p.m. And this past week, if you didn't hear it, it's on Joy. You really need to go to the TanTalk1340.com website, go to podcast, go to Go Yard, and you can catch up on the Joy. Pastor Jim, you and Megan's mother, Betty, and Betty's a part of our radio team and is heard here on this show a lot. You and Betty head up our prayer ministry, don't you? Do you want to comment on that for a couple minutes here?
Sure.
A minute. You got 1 minute.
Okay. I can do that.
All right.
We have a prayer ministry where if you have a prayer need, please send it to us at prayers@bohmglobal.com. Either Betty or I will pick up the prayer. We'll send it out to our prayer partners with a prayer that we write so that we can all kind of be praying the same thing. And we do expect, we believe that God answers. We've seen him answer.
Oh, amen.
With healings and just deliverances and financial miracles.
Yes.
And just all
jobs.
Sorts of jobs. And
marriages
and
saved.
Yes,
all kinds of things.
Just all sorts of stuff. So please send in your prayer requests. Again, that's prayers@bohmglobal.com. And when God answers your prayer, please let us know.
Right.
Because I do keep a record of those answered prayers.
And it's a faith builder for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Our website is www.bohmglobal.com. BOHM stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are global. We have heard from people in other countries. We'd love to hear from you. And you can write Pastor Jim at PastorJim@BOHMglobal.com or me. I'm simply Pastor because I was here before him in both ways. Anyway, Pastor@BOHMglobal.com. I'm older than him by a month or two. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Two months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even though we went to the same university and didn't know each other, so that tells you that I'm not telling the exact truth on that, but whatever. Okay. All right. Don't go anywhere. Listen, please stay with us for the second hour of Living the Good Life.
WTA.